Right, we're going to finish our little journey through the Book of Romans today. Are you all as excited about that as they are about finishing school? I don't know. I will confess to you, I've skipped a little bit because I had a week off for being ill. We missed one bit, but if you can work out which bit, you can say. I'm just wondering whether this mic could be just turned down just like a hair's breadth. Because I'm just booming. Thank you. That's perfect. Thank you. So we're going to look at chapter 16. And before I read it, I will confess to you now that I'm not entirely sure I'm going to pronounce all of these names quite right. But because there's quite a few names in here which aren't just as simple as Bob and Fred to pronounce. So unless anyone's got particular expertise in this, shall I read it? Who, Margaret? Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to read it. Okay, so this is Romans chapter 16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Caesarea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Greet also the church that meets in their house. Greet my dear friend, Epentius, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked hard, very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junior, my fellow Jews, who have been in prison with me. They are outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, whose fidelity to Christ has stood the test. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus, who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncretus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobas, Hermas, and the other brothers and sisters with them. Greet Philogus, Julia, Nerus, and his sister Olympus, and the Lord's people who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send greetings. I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in the way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them, for such people are not serving our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. By smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the minds of naive people. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I rejoice because of you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent, about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Timothy, my co-worker, sends his greetings to you, as does Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater, my fellow Jews. Tertius, who wrote down this letter, greet you in the Lord. Gaius, whose hospitality and I, the whole church here, enjoy, sends you his greetings. Erastus, who is the city's director of the public works, and our brother Quartus, send you their greetings. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. I preached this passage last year in Ashford, and a lady got up and read this, and she got a round of applause, actually, for reading that. No, I wasn't. She did it a lot better than me. She'd actually spent the week sweating and finding the proper pronunciations of all these names. And, well, I'm just saying she did a better job than I was going to try and find it online so I could listen, but they'd taken it off that, so I could just listen to the pronunciations. But anyway, yes, full of names, isn't it, that chapter? Full of names, difficult to pronounce ones. And if you know the Bible at all, you will know that there are quite a few, from time to time, passages of Scripture where there are lists of names. The genealogies in Genesis, for instance, the beginning of Matthew's Gospel, there's a whole list of names. And you read them, and it's so-and-so is the son of so-and-so, and so on, and all of this. And you might think this is not the best sermon material. In fact, I have heard some teachers of preaching said, avoid the genealogies. you will just bore people to tears reading through these passages of names. It's not great sermon material. Now, this isn't quite like a genealogy. There are a lot of names here. But I'm guessing that a lot of this doesn't necessarily mean a lot to us. Some of the names we might know, but a lot of them will just pass us by. But we need to know that these names are here because they are people that God has worked the story of salvation through. And so when I might go and somebody will sort of say, well, how's your church? And I might say, it's doing fine. But if somebody has been to our church, I'll sort of say, oh, well, Margaret, well, she's not very well. Or I might say, John's got a new job. Or, you know, Reg is really buzzing because of what's going on at Food Bank. You know, because people will have, I could say that to someone who's visited, yeah? And there's a connection because people know that God is working in these individual lives, your lives, my life. And that's kind of what's going on here. And I think it's a fitting end to this long letter that we've been reading through, which has been about the gospel and how the gospel works, that we actually have this list of names here because we can anchor this. This is not just a gospel of theory. This is not just some ideas. Because Romans, if you know anything about Romans, it's a book that people love to get really heavy with and debate. And there's great theology in there, and there's great conversation, after dinner conversations to be had amongst Christian circles in this. But I think it's important we remember that this was written to and received by and written for people. Like you and me, maybe we should have started with this. Maybe we should have started this way. But this is all about what God's doing in individual people and how the gospel impacts people. So we're going to look just briefly at this list of names here. We're going to look at what it's saying. What do we get from this? We're going to look at why Paul is greeting so many people. And then we're going to look at how do all these names get on the list. Okay. So reading chapter 16 here, on its own, because if you've not read the rest of the book of Romans, which you have now, but if you were just to read this chapter on its own, it would be rather like switching on the TV just as the film has ended and the credits are rolling up on the screen, you know, and you see all this list of names, which you can't actually read. They go usually so quickly, don't they? Now, I wonder how many people would switch on the TV just to watch the credits. Has anyone ever done that? No? So you might think, well, why is the preacher forcing us to read this list and effectively read the credits at the end here? Well, you've missed the film, maybe. You're watching this long list of people going up here, and it's not very interesting, and you might well switch off. In fact, how many people will you go to the cinema and you watch the film, and as the credits go up, everyone just disappears, don't they? Except for me sometimes, because I want to know who wrote the music sometimes. So I sit there to the end, and Louise is like, come on, let's go. No, I just need to see who was either playing the music or written the music, but that's just me. And that's a point, actually, I've got to make, because actually this list of names, if you're watching a film, is not very interesting unless you happen to be the mother of the cable technician on camera 14, yeah? In which case, you are really excited because you want to see your child's name up in... Because I know this, because I played for the Queen recently, I don't know if you remember, but the... My mum and my dad are still dining out on this. I mean, for me, I've actually forgotten about it, believe it or not. But I keep remembering it because my mum and dad, we saw a distant relative came to visit yesterday. And one of the first things they said was Richard played at St. Paul's. They didn't really know what St. Paul's was because they come from Hong Kong. And anyway, because that's exciting, isn't it? Because we like to know that. So when this list of names rolls up here and you're watching it, and if it's on a film and you think, I know that person. then it's exciting. And it's the same here. You've got this long list of names and you might sort of just kind of like glaze over, but actually these are uninteresting to us until we know that actually we know these people. Now, we don't know these people in the sense that I've never met Herodian or Priscilla and Aquila and all this kind of thing. But there's something in me that gets excited because they are known, and they're known by God. And we have a connection with them through the church, through the ages of history, that actually these are real people that were part of a real church. And that real church then passed on the message to another, and the church carried on. And just like we read the names, Stanley Justice, I think it is on the thing on the wall outside, and Mr. Sherritt, and help me out, Mr. Williams. I don't really know them, but I kind of know them, and they are interesting to us and exciting to us because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be here in this place. Do you see what I'm saying? And actually, we read these names, and all the gospel that we've been reading about for the last 15 chapters has changed the lives of real people. And these people are now, we're reading about them. So we read the names Phoebe and Aquila and Hermes and Mary. But we could equally be reading, actually, your names and my name, because these are real people making up a real church. This happens to be the church in Rome in the first century. But we could equally make up a list of names and a list of greetings like Paul has here for this church. Or maybe when we go to the Baptist church, we'll be saying, you know, if we were writing a letter to them, we'll be saying, greet Brian, greet, I can't remember any of their names now, Ben and Katrina, and greet them. And these are real people. And so the first thing for you to know is that you need to know you are not just a number in the membership role, or however we describe it. You're not just a bum on a seat here in this church here, but we're all named individuals who make up the church. All of us. And when we talk about the gospel, you know, the gospel's supposed to go out into the world. And I've been reading a book, John's lent me, just finished it, about Rane Bonnke, and he has these meetings in Africa, and there's a million people turn up to listen to him all in one go, and you just think, what? How does that work? You know, and you think about the gospel going out to the whole world, and if you think of it too much like that, I mean, I'm not saying not to think of it like that, but if you only think of it like that, it becomes quite impersonal, because, like, it's just a sea of people, and it's just church after church. There's millions of churches around the world. There's millions of Christians around the world. But each one of them, and in every single place, it is made up of individuals. And that million people are all named individuals. And if we had enough time, we could read them all out. And so the gospel isn't just a proclamation to anonymous masses, but who are far away and distant. But actually, it is personal, and it is direct, and it is right to you and me. And so this list of names, it just excites me because you and I are on that list. So the first thing I want us to know is that through this gospel we've been talking about for quite a while now through the book of Romans, is that we are known by God. We are known by God. We're not just anonymous, we're not just a nameless, but we're like Phoebe and Priscilla and Aquila and all these people here. We have a name, and God knows it, and we're here with God. I mean, God knows the numbers of hairs on our head. For me, that's not so difficult for him to know, but for some of you, you know, have more hair, then that's, you know, that's an impressive thing. But through Jesus, we've been made right in his sight. We've read about this in Romans. We're known by him now, and in his son, we are his children. And that's all through the gospel. So I think that's a good thing. Good thing worth celebrating. Because in a world where people are always looking for significance, aren't they, today? They're looking for meaning, looking for, you know, who am I? I can say, honestly, I'm a named child of God. I am loved by God. I'm part of his family, and he knows me by name. I'm sure there's an old gospel song. He knows my name. There's a gospel song that says that. So I'm a named member of his church, and so are you. I'm written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and so are you. This is good news. We're not just statistics. You know, it's not some governmental exercise in heaven where God's ticking off sort of statistics. You know, we've got 20 members there in that church or whatever. We are known by name by God. Even though there's 2 billion or so Christians apparently in the world today, God knows us all individually by name. Just like he knew these people here. Now, there's a lot of names here. There's 27 names on this list at the beginning of this chapter here, as well as a whole load of households and families and churches that are meeting in different locations. And whilst Paul often writes in his letters to so-and-so and so-and-so, this is actually quite unusual, it's unprecedented for Paul to address so many people in one letter. You don't get a list of people in any of his letters as long as this. And the thing is, what makes it more interesting is actually Paul's never been to Rome. He's not actually been to Rome yet when he's written this letter, yet he seems to know all these people in Rome. If Dennis was here, I was going to use him as an example. I don't know if you've... Dennis seems to know someone in every city of the world. He's just incredible. I don't think he's been to many places, or all of these places, but he just seems to know everyone everywhere. And Keith also is a bit like that as well, particularly Keith here. Travelled nowhere, you know. I don't think he's even got a passport to get out of Addleston sometimes, you know. Sorry, anyway. But Paul is like that. He seems to know all these people. And that's kind of the nature of church, isn't it? That there's a connection with people here. And churches are made up of growing numbers of people. And part of the problem with that, though, is when, I'm guessing here in Rome, you've got this group of people, and it's a growing number of people. And just as we are a church here, and sometimes, from time to time, we have visitors and what have you, after a while, you start to think, I don't know whether I know everybody here. And I'm guessing that's kind of what was going on in Rome. You've got a group of people that is growing. And so Paul's writing, and he seems to know a lot of these people, and he just wants to say, look, I know so-and-so, and I know so-and-so, and I want to commend them so that you get to know what they're like. Because it's important as a church we grow in our relationship. And so he makes these commendations to the wider church so that everyone can get to know each other. So do you see what I'm saying? So this is a sort of kingdom thing where we too often get caught up in sort of... It's been an interesting morning so far. Anybody else need anything? I commend the Sunday school. They're great. To you. What am I saying? Let me get back to it. Thank you very much. Thank you. Yes. So, in worldly situations, is it not the case that when you're with a group of people, and I get caught up in this, that we tend to gossip, possibly, or at least it's good fun to run other people down, isn't it? I'll confess to you now, I managed to stop myself mid this. I'm actually really excited. I'm doing a little tour with a band for a few days in August, a group that I last played with 15 years ago. And I'm really looking forward to seeing them. And I got to know them very well because we travelled around Europe a lot together and stuck in a van for hours on end. And I could probably do a pretty good impression of each of the impersonation of each of those people if I wanted to. And they could probably do a good impression of me. And I was asking a question, and I knew the guy who organises it, he's not particularly organised, which is a bit ironic. And he always responds in a certain way. So I was then going to ask another band member, and I was then going to sort of like run the other guy down by sort of saying, I was going to ask so-and-so, but I knew I would only get this response. But then I caught myself in the middle of this email, and I thought, no, I don't need to say that. Because what we do in the world is we tend to run people down, don't we? Yeah, or we gossip, and that's kind of how it works. So I managed to catch myself on that, but I probably slip on that from time to time. But rarely is it a positive or productive thing in the world. But actually in the church, what Paul is doing here is he's actually saying, I want you to know that this person's great. I want you to know that this person has served God. I want you to know that this person has been faithful. I want you to know this person has gone through trials, yet they've stayed faithful in the Lord. I want you to know that this person is a prayer, or this person is a prophetic person. He's not saying all of this, but that's the kind of thing. I want you to know that these people are good, faithful Christian people. And in doing so, it builds up the church. And the church get to know one another. Because if you didn't know anything about Margaret, for instance, and then I told you something about Margaret, then you would get to know about it. If I read it in a letter, then everyone gets to know. And if that's kind of how it works. And it's interesting how the world finds that and struggles with that. We did this on, I think I mentioned this on Tuesday night, but in the toy library, it was the last toy library for two of the children because they're going off to school next year. So Louise got them on the sofa, sort of snuggled up, and she said, and Louise said to the adults, right, we're now just going to go around and we're just going to say one thing that we really appreciate about so-and-so and so-and-so. And you could see all the adults kind of like, what? So she started with me, which is brilliant, because I don't really normally go to toy libraries. I'm thinking, I don't even know these kids. but fortunately, I had played football with this one of these boys and this other girl. So I was able to sort of, you know, say something. And then we went around, and the adults that are there every week, they were like, I'll say. Do you know who's the best? I'll commend her now. Do you know who's the only person that really was able to speak a blessing, really, on these children? Was Mary, who's not here this morning. But do you know what? Let me tell you something about Mary. She's really good at finding the good in people, isn't she? So she will just sort of say, this is good about this person. So she was almost did a more than 2-minute speech of these two children, you know. But then we went around the room and none of them knew what to do. All they could say was, well, I'm going to really miss you. Now, that's not bad. But we need to get into the habit of commending one another, don't we? Because the world is so good at running each other. The world is good at running one another down. So I thought I'd put a bit of this. Some of you are going to feel uncomfortable now because I mentioned some people by name. Some people aren't here. But I'm just going to put a little bit into practice of what I'm talking about here. I'm going to talk about Reg. Reg, he has just done an amazing job on the garden. We've got beans and courgettes and something else growing in the back garden. He's like the front garden looks better than my garden will ever look. He's doing stuff with Job Club and with Food Bank and with the Coffee Morning. And I just want to commend Reg. He's a real servant. I'm glad you retired, Reg. I want to commend Margaret. I do want to commend Margaret too. Oh, see, look, we don't like doing this. We don't like receiving it. We're going to commend you because she started this Coffee Morning. I haven't even said it yet. She started this the Three Seas Coffee Morning and it's going well. So, yeah, I want to commend Daniel. He comes every Tuesday and does Job Club, and it's not an easy thing to do. Sheila, who's not here, she is a constant. Even when she's ill, she says, can I come and help? You know, when her back's playing up and stuff, she's a faithful prayer and a faithful Mary, I've already mentioned. Emma, I just want to commend Emma to you. She just works like a... Yeah, and the Sunday school, yeah, it's amazing. Bless her afterwards. Keith, I could go on for all day about Keith as well. He keeps this place ticking over. Chris, the accounts for 18 years, I think it is. Yeah. Cherry does with the youth work. She's doing a great job with the youth work. I could go on and on. Dennis, I wanted to tell you about Dennis. You know, our computers and stuff, he keeps that all maintained and stuff. So really, he's a real blessing. And my wife, he just keeps coming up with these crazy ideas. And I think this church would be very boring if it wasn't for Louise. You know, you would just have me on a Sunday. I think I would do all right. And I would, you know, I better preach a decent sermon and play the piano and stuff. But the creative and the sort of cutting edge stuff, you know, is often down to her. So I could go on all morning, all right? But I just want us to get into the habit of just putting this to practice and sort of saying, this is good. And commend one another. And particularly if you see something that someone's doing that not necessarily else knows about, gossip that, if it's a good thing. If you see them smoking outside the back of the, you know, church or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. And she's good at pointing this out as well, so I'll commend Margaret again. So we need to get in the habit of greeting and commending one another and celebrating gifts and celebrating differences and celebrating vocations and not be afraid of speaking well. Yeah, so that's that. Finally, this is the last point. Maybe a long one, but anyway. This list of people is a picture of a relational community, isn't it? They're known by God, but they're getting to know each other, and they are known by each other. But how does Paul know all these people? He's not been to Rome. How does he know them? Now, no doubt, people Paul encountered on his missionary travels. But as you read it, you realise that they're more than just passing acquaintances. They're not just people he met on holiday, you know, sort of, you know, they were in the chalet next door to him on his holidays. But actually, Paul has really got to know these people through serving and following Christ. So if you read through the list, you see that there are servants of the church. There are those who have financially sacrificed. There are those who have risked their lives. There are those who have worked hard for others. Some have suffered imprisonment. Some he mentions as dear friends. Some are fellow workers. Some who are faithful to Christ through trials. There are even mothers and brothers and sisters here, he mentions. These are not passing acquaintances. Somewhere along the line in his travels, and he's traveled a lot, he's met these people and had to serve or endure trial or been welcomed into their house to the point where he actually really knows them. And then they've all somehow ended up in Rome and he's writing to them. These are people who have offered their bodies as living sacrifices. If you go back to Romans 12, chapter 1. And Paul, I tell you where Paul is, this is my theory, okay, and I'm going a little bit beyond what it says here, but my theory is this. Paul met them all at the foot of the cross. That's the meeting place. Well, where's that? Well, it's not actually a physical place. Yeah, but what I'm saying is that because these people met Jesus and because they sacrificed their lives then in following him and taking up their cross, that's where Paul has met them. And so that foot of the cross is like, it's a spiritual place where lives are shaped and lives are reformed and they are turned into lives that are following Christ, and that's where we meet. In fact, that's where this church meets, isn't it? We don't have to be here. We meet here in a physical place because it's convenient, but actually we meet because we are a people whose lives are shaped by the cross. Known by God, known by each other through the cross. In fact, if you think about it, there's no other way that we can be known by God, is there, except through the cross. And there's no other way we can know each other except through the cross. The cross is the meeting place. And so, really, this is what Rome is all about, isn't it? It's about the grace of God. It's about God's mercy. It's about God's love poured out on this world through the cross of Christ. And that's how this list comes to be. That's how this list of people, this list of names, is through Jesus' name that they all make sense and come together. And it's a picture of the church knowing one another, being known by God and knowing one another. And I think the clue for me and how I've put this together about the cross is where in verse 13 it says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me." Now we get, actually in church you'll hear that, brothers and we call ourselves brothers and sisters, right? And I would say that some, particularly like Keith and Margaret, they're like spiritual mum and dad to me in a way, that just because of who they are. But I think this points to the passage in John, indirectly it says, which is at the foot of the cross, you know, and this is what happens at the foot of the cross when Jesus is on the cross. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing by her, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, this disciple took her into his own home. That's what the cross does. It's more than just a passing kind of, "Oh yeah, we get on well," or "I like so-and-so," or, you know, "She's a bit of a laugh," or, you know, "We're good friends." It's more than we're good friends. But actually, through the cross, there is a bond of family between people who otherwise would be just individuals, where salvation unites us not only to God, but unites us to one another. And so the names on this list are more than just people that Paul bumped into. But through the cross, sonless mothers and motherless sons are connected and come together in a family. And so I think this list of names points us in that direction, that the gospel brings salvation to us and brings us into a family where we're named and we're brothers and sisters, mothers and daughters, sons and fathers to one another. And so I'd say, if just making this available to us all, if you're not sure you're included on this list of names, then come to Jesus. That's what I'd say. I'm sure, I hope we all are, but if that's not the case, if you're still not quite sure, then at the foot of the cross, where we confess our sins, we hear also these words of Jesus. Mother, this is your son. Son, this is your mother. And if we are known by Jesus, then we need to know we're part of his great family. This list of names extends. We can write our own name in there. And because of that, and just as I keep saying to my own family, learn how to love one another, learn how to speak well of one another, and let's not be shy in that. Let's be really good at speaking blessing and commendation to one another. And I'm just going to read now the last bit, because I think all of this is wrapped up in these last few verses. From verse 25, it says, "Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever and ever through Jesus Christ. Amen." The only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. To the only wise God. That's what all of this is about. That's what these names are about. You know, sometimes in the week when I come in here, I'm just walking through, I pray for these chairs. Daniel's got a thing about these chairs because we need to get them filled, and I agree with him. But I pray for these chairs because I want to pray that everyone who sits on these chairs, the glory of God will be revealed in their life. And that's what this is about. This list of names, your name, my name, is that what all of this is about is that God's glory will be revealed in us. And that happens as we commend one another. And that happens as we know that we're known by God. And that happens through all of this we've been looking at for the last however many months. That God's glory will be revealed. And where is it revealed? Where's God's glory revealed today? But in the lives of people. So I pray that these chairs will be filled with people who display the glory of God. And that they're not just, and that comes in all shapes and sizes and forms, doesn't it? You know, just have a quick, I mean, even just a few of us here today, but look around the room. I mean, there's a diversity and variety of people, ages, backgrounds, and all kinds of things, but God's glory will be revealed in each and every one of us. Yeah. So I greet you and commend you and pray blessing on you. Let's pray now. And just ask God to continue his work in us. Father, we thank you for this great letter that we've just been reading through to the Romans. And I thank you, as we read this list of names at the end, we recognize that this is not just to the Romans, this kind of anonymous church and sometime long ago in a place far away, but actually this was a personal letter to real people in a real place. And that every church is like that. This church is like it. All the churches in Adelston are like that. The church around the world is like that. Even at maybe 2 billion people, or however little the figure is, you know people, and the church is made up of individuals. Individuals to display your glory in their lives. And so we come again to you and ask that your glory fall on us and be revealed in us. And let it be revealed more and more as we celebrate one another and commend one another and bless one another in the way we speak. That we would see more of you. that we would be not just people who just happen to meet on a Sunday because we happen to go to church, but that we would be people who serve you together to bring glory to your name, that we would be people that grow together closer as a bond of fellowship, but also that we would draw others into that. I pray for some of these folk that Reg has mentioned, the food bank, and people that we meet through the week. I pray, draw them in to this fellowship. For your name to be glorified in their lives. There are empty chairs here. We pray, fill them. Come, Lord Jesus, assure us of our place and our position in you. And let everything that we have looked at in this book over the last few weeks and months work its way in us by your Spirit, that we may become more like you and more like the church you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.